Welcome to Listen 2. This is Ted. The news was published on Thursday, October 3rd. Joining us today are Eric and Kate to discuss a groundbreaking study about psychedelics and anxiety. Let's start with the basics. What is DOI and how does it relate to anxiety reduction?
Well, Ted, DOI is short for 2-pot-5-dime-doxy-4-iodoamphetamine. It's a psychedelic drug that's been turning heads in the scientific community because it's shown some pretty impressive results in reducing anxiety. But here's the kicker. It does this without causing those trippy hallucinations we typically associate with psychedelics.
That's right. But let's pump the brakes a bit here. We need to remember that this is still a psychedelic drug we're talking about. It's not
I hear you, Kate, and you're absolutely right to be cautious. But let me explain why this study is so exciting. The researchers found that DOI targets specific receptors in the brain, namely serotonin (2A) receptors, on parvalbumin-positive neurons in the ventral hippocampus. This precision is what sets it apart.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold your horses there, Einstein. That's a real mouthful of scientific jargon. Can we break that down for our audience?
Of course, my bad. Let me put it in simpler terms. The ventral hippocampus is a part of the brain that's like the control center for our emotions and memories. Now, parvalbumin-positive neurons are a specific type of brain cell. Think of them as the brain's anxiety managers. And serotonin 2A receptors, they're like little docking stations on these cells that respond to serotonin, which is often called the feel-good chemical in our brains.
Okay, that's a bit clearer. But how do we actually know this reduces anxiety? It's not like we can ask a rat how it's feeling.
Good question, Kate. The researchers used animal models, rats and mice, and observed their behavior. When they gave these animals DOI, they saw a decrease in anxiety-like behaviors. For example, the animals were more willing to explore open spaces, which is something anxious rodents typically avoid.
But hold on a second. Animal models aren't always a surefire indicator of how humans will respond. We can't just assume what works.
You both raise interesting points. Now, let's zoom out a bit. What's the significance of this discovery in terms of potential anxiety treatments?
This finding is a game changer, Ted. It's like finding the light switch. After fumbling around in the dark, for the first time we've separated the anxiety-reducing effects from the hallucinatory effects of psychedelics. This opens up a whole new world of possibilities for anxiety treatments that don't come with the baggage of hallucinations.
But we're still talking about a psychedelic drug here. Isn't that a bit like playing with fire? We need to be really
I understand your concern, Kate, but it's important to clarify. The key here is that this research could lead to psychedelic-inspired drugs, not necessarily the use of psychedelics themselves in treatment. It's about learning from these substances to create safer, more targeted medications.
I'm still not buying it. We need to consider the potential for abuse and addiction. Look at what happened with opioids. They were supposed to be a miracle pain treatment, and now we have an epidemic on our hands.
You're right to be cautious, Kate, but it's crucial to understand that this study isn't advocating for recreational use. It's about understanding the mechanisms at play so we can develop safer, more targeted treatments. It's like learning how a lock works so we can create a better key, not so we can pick the lock.
Let's put this in historical context. Can you think of a similar breakthrough in anxiety treatment from the past?
Absolutely, Ted. This reminds me of the discovery of benzodiazepines in the 1950s. It's a bit of a funny story, actually. Dr. Leo Sternbach accidentally created chlordiazepoxide while cleaning out his lab. This happy accident became the first benzodiazepine marketed as Librium. It was a total game changer for anxiety treatment at the time.
But hold your horses there, history buff. Benzodiazepines turned out to be a double-edged sword. They're highly addictive and have caused.
You're absolutely right, Kate. Benzodiazepines did turn out to have significant downsides. But here's the thing. They revolutionized anxiety treatment at the time. Before benzodiazepines, doctors were using barbiturates, which were even more dangerous. It was a step in the right direction, even if it wasn't perfect.
So what are you saying? That we should just jump on this DOI bandwagon without a second thought? That seems
not at all, Kate. I'm saying we should learn from history. The benzodiazepine discovery led to a better understanding of brain chemistry and anxiety. Just like this DOI study is doing now, it's about progress, not perfection. We take what we learn, improve upon it, and move forward.
but the benzodiazepine breakthrough also led to widespread addiction and abuse. We can't just ignore that fact.
You're absolutely right, and that's precisely why this new research is so important. It's targeting specific brain regions and neuron types, potentially leading to more precise treatments. We're not throwing caution to the wind here. We're using our past experiences to inform a more careful, targeted approach.
How does this discovery compare to the benzodiazepine breakthrough in terms of potential impact?
This could be even more significant, Ted. Benzodiazepines work on GABA receptors throughout the brain, which is why they can have such widespread effects, both good and bad. But this study shows DOI targeting specific neurons in a specific region. It's like the difference between using a sledgehammer and a scalpel. We're getting more precise, which could mean more effective treatments with fewer side effects.
But we don't know the long-term effects or potential side effects yet. This could be opening a whole new can of worms.
You're absolutely right, Kate. We don't have all the answers yet, which is why more research is needed, but the potential for a non-hallucinogenic targeted anxiety treatment is truly groundbreaking. It's like we found a new path in the forest. We need to explore it carefully, but it could lead us to amazing discoveries.
I'm still concerned about the use of psychedelic-derived substances in mainstream medicine. It feels like we're playing with fire.
I understand your concern, Kate. But remember, many of our current medicines have origins in substances once considered taboo. Morphine comes from opium, aspirin from willow bark. It's about using scientific understanding to create safe, effective treatments. We're not advocating for recreational use. We're talking about harnessing the power of these compounds in a controlled medical setting.
Looking to the future, how do you see this research potentially changing anxiety treatment?
I see this as the dawn of a new era in anxiety treatment, Ted. We could be looking at a whole new class of medications that are more targeted and have fewer side effects. Imagine treatments that specifically activate these parvalbumin-positive neurons in the ventral hippocampus. It's like having a dimmer switch for anxiety instead of just an on-off button.
That's way too optimistic. We could also see a rise in psychedelic drug abuse as people misinterpret this research. It's not all
sunshine. I hear your concerns, Kate, but I think proper education and regulation could prevent that. This research could be a lifeline for those who don't respond to current anxiety medications. It's about expanding our toolkit, not replacing everything we currently have.
Or it could lead to a new wave of addiction and mental health issues if not carefully controlled. We can't just ignore the potential.
You both raise interesting points. What potential obstacles do you see in developing these treatments?
The main challenge will be isolating the anxiety-reducing effects from other psychedelic effects. It's like trying to separate the caffeine from coffee without losing the flavor. But this research has already made significant progress in that direction. We're not starting from scratch here.
There's also the elephant in the room, the stigma associated with psychedelics. It could be an uphill battle to get approval for clinical trials and eventual FDA approval. People hear psychedelic.
You're right about the stigma, Kate, but attitudes are changing. Look at the recent advancements in medical marijuana and ketamine treatments for depression. 10 years ago, who would have thought we'd be using these substances medicinally? The landscape is shifting.
Those are still controversial and not universally accepted in the medical community. We can't act like it's all smooth sailing from here.
You're absolutely right. It's not smooth sailing, but these developments have opened the door for more research into previously taboo substances. This DOI study could follow a similar path. It's about challenging our preconceptions and following the science wherever it leads us.
We need to be cautious. The potential for harm is significant if this isn't handled properly. We can't afford to make mistakes when it comes to people's mental health.
I couldn't agree more, Kate. We absolutely need to be cautious and thorough, but we also need to consider the potential for helping millions of people with anxiety disorders who haven't found relief with current treatments. It's a delicate balance, but one that's worth pursuing for the sake of those suffering from debilitating anxiety.
Thank you both for this insightful discussion. It's clear that this research into DOI and anxiety has the potential to be groundbreaking, but it also comes with significant challenges and concerns. As we move forward, it will be crucial to balance the promise of new treatments with careful research and regulation. This conversation highlights the complexity of advancing medical science, especially in areas that have been historically controversial. We'll certainly be keeping an eye on how this research develops in the future.